Podcast and 20 Minutes or Less Podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
It's Wednesday, October 11th, 2017. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
Podcast is growing all the time. We get more and more listens like every day. So
good.
Thank you to those of you who are subscribed. And if you've told your friends about it, even better if you've left a review.
Tell your friends.
You're the tits. You're awesome.
Is that an appropriate term, tits?
I think so. I think it's fine.
Okay, good.
That's what the podcast is for.
Tits.
Yes.
Yeah. Saying things that we're not quite sure we can say otherwise. It's true.
This isn't really... We'll get to the main podcast in a second, but we had to play this for you. This is the hardest that we laughed on the show today. And it was, trying to find a winner for one weekend only. Mark Belisle just called back. Way to go, Mark.
Woo!
Mark's coming to one weekend only.
Let's get another rally going, you know?
I agree. That's one.
Yes.
But every streak starts with a single one, right?
It's true. Our last one got to seven, and I owe $70 to a charity. I just haven't decided what charity yet.
You haven't picked a charity?
No.
What's a good charity? The United Negro College Fund?
Yes.
That's the charity that Mr. Deeds gives his $40 billion fortune to in the movie Mr. Deeds.
Amazing. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that would work. I don't know. How do people decide what charity to give their money to? One that they obviously believe in. There's a lot of options and good charities, though.
Deeds' butler suggested it to him. We can just keep talking about Mr. Deeds if you want.
Now Beckler's suggesting it to me, so that's good.
A charity, I'm surprised they haven't updated their name, hey?
The United Negro College.
Sounds pretty dated.
It does. Does sound
I guess it's up to
dated.
Them to call themselves what they want to call themselves, right?
A mind is a terrible thing to waste is their tagline. It's good.
And I agree with that.
I know.
A mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Absolutely. Okay, well, maybe that's what I'm going to donate my $70 to then.
Some would say that Deeds wasted some of his fortune when he bought the whole town Corvettes.
That's a great thing to do with your money, too.
Longfellow Deeds.
I'm glad that we now all know the full synopsis of the movie Mr. Deeds. It's great.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I was flying over the weekend and I was staring at the flight attendant ahead of me and I was like, is being a flight attendant actually fun, do you think? Because I always see it that way. I always look and I'm like, oh, that looks like a great job. In fact, if radio doesn't work out for me, I was like, I'll try and be a flight attendant maybe. But I was wondering if it's one of those jobs that looks fun but maybe isn't as fun as it looks.
I'm sure it has its crap that you have to put up with like a lot of jobs do, right?
It has its ups and downs.
Oh, come on. What is wrong with me today?
It's like my second
Making
bad dad
horrible
joke.
Dad jokes I'm to sorry, callers.
Everyone.
And
I'm so sorry.
There should be a penance that you have to do if you
okay.
If you make a bad dad joke.
I deserve that today, so figure out what it is. But honestly.
I have a friend who's a flight attendant with WestJet, and she loves it.
Does she?
She loves her job. Yeah, she loves getting to see all these different places, and I think she even loves like the day-to-day aspects of the job.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And that's what it seems to me, but I sometimes think there are some jobs that appear to be fun that perhaps aren't as fun as they are.
Hmm.
And perhaps people who are, you know, in a certain industry or something would know of that. People go, oh, your job must be so much fun. And you're like, well, it is, but there's some difficulties as well.
Our job is fun.
It's really fun.
Our job is a lot of fun.
And we do have people who go, your job sounds like a lot of fun because we mess around
on the
radio. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
What's a job that seems like a lot of fun, though? I would think, you know, if you're doing something that you love, like if you're, I know a guy who's a whitewater rafting guide and that's like his passion.
Right.
So he gets to be out on the water all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe not doing the type of rafting that he would do on his own, but still better than for him being at a desk or something.
Yeah. Like a tour manager for a band, I always thought might be fun, but I also know that there's a lot of other stuff you have to deal with on top of that.
Yeah.
It's not like the glorious, just follow a band around the world, you know?
Yeah.
I've always
said that if you work at a job that people want to be at,
mm-hmm.
like I worked at a grocery store for a while, nobody wants to be at the grocery store. So like, and then I worked at a movie theater and everybody wants to be at the movie theater. So
Like
the mood between the clientele in those two places, they're the same people, but just at doing different things. One they want to do, one they don't. And it was amazing the difference that made.
I never thought about that, but it's totally true. And sometimes I think there's jobs that are more fun than they sound. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to remember now. I was talking to somebody a long time ago and they're like, no, it's actually more fun than it is. And he was like, I don't know, dealt with sewage. I'm just like, that doesn't sound fun at all. Like, what do you mean it's more fun than
sewage? He's like, I love it. I absolutely love
you like
sewage.
Okay. Good for you, man. Then you're right in the right place. You know?
We should open this up. 238X929 if you have a job that doesn't sound fun but is, or that sounds fun but actually isn't.
Yep.
Or if you just love sewage and you want to talk about that.
Let's talk about
238X929.
Well, I wanted to play video games when I grew up for a living, so I wanted to be a video game tester. And I finally talked to somebody who's actually in that industry, and they told me that 90% of your job is playing the same level in the same spot for 8 hours a day, just testing it out to see if you, like, fall through the level and stuff. And then you have to write a huge report on it afterwards.
Man, that is a great one. I've heard that.
Yeah.
You think you're going to be playing the game, but you're actually just, like, stuck finding corners.
You play
corners
level one, and that's it.
Yeah, you just go to every corner and try to find glitches, right?
Yeah, and then you have to write a huge report on them based on, like, code and things like that. I don't want to do that.
That's the perfect example of this. Yeah, and that sounds terrible.
That's how you ruin your love for video games.
Yeah, exactly. And then you go home, and then what do? You don't want to play any video games.
Yeah, you've been playing all day.
It's like having to wake up and have repeat the same day over and over and over again. It's like, oh, God, not again.
And then finally the game comes out, and then everybody's excited about it. And they're like, oh, have you played this yet? And you're like, yeah, it's the first level 10 million times.
Yeah. And you're like, don't show me that. It's giving you like flashbacks. Help.
We're getting some responses. We got a call from a guy who said he was a service advisor at a car dealership, and it's awful because you're always the person to tell someone that they need a major repair on their car.
Yeah.
It's big. You're the guy that's got to tell them that it's going to cost $2,000. That sucks.
Yeah, and very rarely is it, car's great.
Yeah, you know, everything's working fine. Yeah. It's actually better than when you brought it in.
I don't know what happened. The air in here really perked it up, you know? Your car's great.
Yeah, so that I could see that for sure.
There was also somebody saying being a paramedic seemed like fun 8 years ago, but it can wear you down fast if you're not careful.
Oh, and I believe that. If you're looking for something quick-paced, I think a lot of paramedics think, okay, maybe this is even my springboard into fire or something like that.
Yeah.
But man, I've always said the paramedics don't get paid nearly enough to deal with the crap that they have to deal with, the things they have to see.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that you obviously are trained when you're going into it. You're trained to be prepared for that. But I don't know if you're really fully prepared, even if you are trained.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think anybody's prepared to see some of that stuff.
No.
So, for sure. Paramedics. What else?
Teresa said, I work at a medical lab. And nobody is like, freak, yes, I want to have my blood taken today.
Yeah, that's true. Like, you don't have that circle on your calendar like, ooh, it's blood work day.
Guys, I can't wait. I woke up early today. I was so excited because it's blood work day.
Do you think anybody enjoys needles other than like intravenous drug users? Does anybody actually enjoy getting a needle?
I'm sure there are some weird people who like that, you know, except for people who maybe enjoy that feeling. I know you hate needles.
Oh, I pass out.
Right.
These are the same type of people that like put those hooks in their back and hang themselves from the roof. Is that like that kind of person?
Yeah, there's people into that type of thing as well. There's all kinds. To each his own. I mean,
I'd be a little worried if someone was excited to come to the lab and get their blood taken, right? So what are you into? Needles.
They're waiting. Oh. They're the first girl. Okay,
well,
it's time.
Has been fun.
I want this to happen.
The BHS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
So that topic inspired quite an interesting conversation on Twitter between Teresa, the woman who works at the lab and takes blood.
Yes.
She's a phlebotomist, I think they're called.
Fancy.
A phleb.
A phleb, she said. Really? Yeah.
Yeah, and another girl named Morgan who apparently enjoys needles.
Okay, so it's really funny because when we were talking about this on the air, I actually changed the way I was describing it because I said people who like needles are weird, and I changed that to eccentric because I was actually afraid of offending needle lovers and people who are turned on by needles. This is what it's come to when we're on the air.
That term is offensive.
Saying
to
weird,
who love
I was
needles.
Like, oh, weird is mean. Eccentric, eccentric people.
That's how careful we have to be now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's quite funny.
But apparently, someone called in and brought up like people who like to get piercings and tattoos. Like they could like needles.
And I never thought of that because I love getting tattoos. And there is something about, you know, a tattoo gun. But I assume or picture it as more of an ink gun
it's
than a needle.
It's not like a medical needle.
No.
Or a surgical needle.
No, and those are daunting looking. I think it's just even the look of it that's terrifying to people, those medical weird needles.
Are you afraid of needles?
I don't think I'm afraid of them. Not like you. Not like where you pass out if you
pass
get a needle.
Out. Yeah, there's no worry that I'll ever be an intravenous drug user because I would be out before the needle got in me.
And I think there's something about our society that's made needles scary to people. Like, it's just...
Yeah, because it's not that painful.
No.
Like, you experience more pain than that probably multiple times a day. Stub your toe.
And I think it's even part blood, right? People are
Something going in you, like breaking your skin.
Yeah.
Would you get a tattoo? But like, you wouldn't get a tattoo if there was no tattoo. In the end, you wouldn't just get it for the sensation, right?
I wouldn't, but I bet you there are people who would.
Yeah, it sounds like this Morgan on Twitter would. She likes, you know, I bet she's into some weird stuff.
Eccentric stuff.
No, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say weird.
Weird shit.
Teresa also said in her experience as a phlebotomist that Morgan would be like one in a million. She said 90% of patients look away when you insert the needle. 9% watch so that they feel in control.
Right.
And 1%, who are the sociopaths, stare her right in the eyes.
To see who blinks first.
X92.9.
The municipal election is on Monday.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like advanced polling numbers are good.
Way up.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
And of course, not just an election here in Calgary, but a bunch of different municipal elections happening up in Edmonton. Chestermere, I was reading, is electing an entirely new city council because they've all stepped down. The mayor and all six councillors have stepped down.
What?
There's been controversy about like tax and utility hikes, accusations of mismanagement. There was a petition.
So they're all just like, I'm out.
All seven of them are like, we're done with this.
Good luck. See you later.
They're going to have an entirely new city council in Chestermere.
Wow.
Yeah.
Of course, we've just launched justvotedammit.com as well for all your voting needs, should you have some inquiries.
But. Yeah, please go out and vote. We don't care who you vote for. We just want you to vote.
Yeah.
That voter turnout number is the most important thing to us.
It's true. It's true. And we have a way to really encourage you to come out as well.
Yeah, because civic politics can be a tough sell sometimes.
We understand that, especially for the younger folk.
So we're just putting a little spin on it. Making it a little bit more sexy.
Gerrymandering.
Congressional district.
Proportional representation.
Split the vote.
Exercise your democratic responsibility.
Do you swing vote?
What a huge polling station.
Partisan.
Make a decision and put it in my box.
I love a big caucus.
Was that too
far? Yeah, maybe.
X92.9.
Halloween is just over 2 weeks away, and I have a bit of a dilemma, Shauna.
Okay.
So I'm going to take Bo out trick-or-treating. Bo is 2.5 now, and he went last year, and he just loved it. But I would like to take him to one of those neighborhoods down south where it's a lot of young people and it's super busy.
Okay.
Because our neighborhood is mostly older people and Halloween's pretty quiet. We live in Haysboro and you don't see a whole lot of kids out, don't get a lot of kids through the house. So I think it'd be fun to show him kind of what Halloween was like when we were growing up, when the streets were just full of kids and like 300 kids would come by your house.
So what you're saying is you just want more candy and you want Bo to have more candy that you can then eat. So you would like to go somewhere where the volume of candy will be higher.
Well, I think if you're just after candy, a quiet neighborhood's probably better, right?
Maybe.
Because you're more likely to get bigger hauls from the houses if they don't have a lot of kids coming by. You don't have to like wait. Do you remember growing up getting jammed up at houses?
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd get there and you'd be like the third group in line and you have to wait.
Yeah. And you were like, hurry it up. Hurry up!
Or you just leapfrog them and move on to the next one?
Yeah. Yeah, it's true, I guess. Okay, so especially, as you said, at the end of the night, if they have lots of candy left over, they may just dump the rest of the bowl with you. Like, here you go, Bo, take the rest of it.
But here's my issue. I feel like I would then be contributing to the death of Halloween in my neighborhood.
Hey, you don't want to do that either.
No, if we are one of the few people that are actually out trick-or-treating, and then we don't go, then it gets even quieter. And like, these old people get so excited when Bo comes up to the door in his little costume, and I take that away from them.
So this is what you do. You do both, I think. You start at your neighborhood, you go and talk to the elderly people, make them happy, and then the minute they go to bed, which is pretty early, as we all know, then you head to the next neighborhood.
You're assuming that Bo is going to have a lot of gas in his 2.5-year-old legs.
I think that he has more gas in his legs than you do.
Yeah.
What are your things?
Oh, my God.
Sticks.
Such a nasty woman.
BMS in 20 minutes or less.
My mom's cousin was in the Olympics back in, I don't know, 60-something. I forget what year. But I saw her when I was visiting my parents over the weekend, and she was wearing her Olympic ring.
This is the one that we've had on the air before, right?
Yes.
Talk about the Olympics?
Yeah, yeah. She was a figure skating. She won silver in figure skating. But she has this amazing ring, and I didn't realize that athletes are given an Olympic ring.
So you don't just get a medal.
No, you get a ring as well. And it's the, you know, the five Olympic rings, and it's this white gold. It's gorgeous. And I was just like, oh, that's so cool. And I started thinking about rings and how interesting it is that rings kind of tell a story. Like, you earn them when you think about it. Like, there's, of course, wedding rings, and that tells people that you're now married.
Yeah, engagement rings.
Engagement rings. There's the Irish clodagh ring, which we've talked about before, where depending on the way the crown is facing, it means you're single or you're in a relationship.
Right, which I think is, we should adopt that more widespread.
I think that's genius. That's
a pretty good system the Irish figured out there.
Yeah, they've got it down. And then there's, of course, the Super Bowl rings and the championship rings and everything. Right. Those rings all tell something. Like, they all are kind of earned.
Certain colleges have rings too, don't they?
Engineering has a ring, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that is interesting. A ring is often something that you earn.
Yeah. And then there's those rings that you used to be able to get if you graduated, like, you know, your class of 2000 ring.
Class ring.
Did you ever get a class ring?
I did not.
Okay.
I think I only know one guy in our class who did.
I was going to say, I don't know anybody who actually purchased those class of 2000 rings to wear. They were those outrageous, completely gaudy. They look like a Super Bowl ring, but it says the year you graduated.
You didn't win the Super Bowl. You made it through high school, which today isn't much of an accomplishment anymore, is it?
Like, no.
If you show up and put even the slightest bit of effort in, they'll push you through.
Yeah. Yeah, you could be failing and they'll probably up your grade just to get you on anyway. Just, you're fine. You're
I guess
fine.
It wasn't always like that, though.
Yeah.
I mean, in the 30s, a lot of people didn't graduate. They dropped out to work or to...
And I suppose that's probably what those rings are for. Like, they made them when it was actually kind of a feat to graduate high school rather than, like, dropping out and going and working on the farm or something you actually went through. You got a quote-unquote formal education back then. That was a big deal. Now it's like, no, you could do a bunch of farts and make it through high school. It's like, well, you showed up. You know, that's good. Good for you.
You farted your way through high school.
You farted your way through.
Well done.
Yeah.
Sometimes, though, Shauna, the ring chooses the person. Like the One Ring did to Frodo and Bilbo before him and Gollum.
How did I know
that? Was Smeagol at the time.
I bring up rings and this is where we go.
And that's just one of the rings of power.
Great. There's
three for the Elven Kings under the sky.
Oh.
Seven for the Dwarf Lords
the in
their halls
kings.
Of stone.
Can't forget
Nine
the Elven
for
kings.
Mortal men doomed to die.
How many damn rings are in this movie?
They were all of them deceived by the One Ring of Power. Are we clear?
Sorry, everyone. I'm sorry.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
And that's the podcast for today.
That's all she wrote.
Hey, I never asked you how your speech went. I know you were nervous to give a speech at Boobs' wedding. How did that go?
It turned out really well, I think. A lot of the wedding party was saying that they thought it was awesome. One person was like, that's the best speech I've ever heard. Nice. So I was pretty excited.
How long did it go?
I think it was 3 minutes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice work.
If that. Yeah.
Jokes? Did your jokes land? You said there were a lot of Greek people there. Some of them didn't speak English.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I did have some laughs, which was great. I had a clapping part and a heartfelt moment as well, which was good.
An applause break?
An applause
you
break.
You got an applause break in a 3-minute speech?
Yeah. Yeah.
I would count that as a win.
Yeah, except I went back to my table where my parents and my boyfriend were sitting, and I was like, how did you think it went? And they were all like, oh, it was good. And then they just changed the subject. I'm like, not good.
Oh.
And then they're like, well, you public speak for a living. Everybody expects it's going to be good. And that's all they kind of said about it. And I'm like,
I still need confirmation, damn it.
Yeah, it's totally different. I was terrified. Okay. Absolutely terrified.
People don't realize that. Like when we sit here in the studio and we talk, we might have tens of thousands of people listening, but you can't see them.
No.
We just see each other.
Yeah. You can visibly see the people getting angry at you or rolling their eyes or whatever. Like you just, oh.
Yeah. And if things go south on the radio, you don't know if people are leaving. You don't know if they hate it.
Yeah.
But when you're standing in front of people and it goes south, oh, it's very apparent.
If people start walking out of the hall, I'm like, wait! Oh, God!
Boo! Yeah. Boo!
Oh, no. Oh, no.
You've been listening to the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have BNS in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.